Today, many people are concerned about the future with the economy, national leadership, the state of America and her freedoms, and the future of the world. This leads to tension and distress among people. In speaking with people in our community about the church and about their future spiritually, oftentimes I have people who will point out to me that the Lord is coming back soon, that the end as we know it is going to come, that the Lord will soon intervene because the world has become so corrupt. Now, are they right in what they're saying when they point these things out? I have to agree with them because I also think that the Lord is going to come back before long. Everything seems to be paving the way for his return. And I'm going to take some time and speak to you about the end days or the end times. And this covers a lot of territory, and the Bible has a lot of answers for us and explains to us the events that will come and that we'll face in the future and what the world is going to face. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Is that true? What were those days like? And we talk about a little bit, and the New Testament explains a little bit to us about what it was like, but there's always been people that were drinking, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. We always have had that. That's just been the way life is. But Genesis chapter 6 explains even further what those days were like when Noah was alive. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11, it tells us, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through men, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." You know, we look at the way things are today, legalized abortion, over 50 million babies murdered in the womb since 1972. We see events happening now where the Bible prophesied in Isaiah there will come a time when good should be called bad and bad should be called good. And now we're seeing the movement, of course, of homosexuality, the transgender movement, even with Planned Parenthood selling off baby parts, people are still coming to their defense and wanting to continue to fund them. You know, we look at a world around us and it almost as though they're insane, that they don't even know what they're doing. I'm talking about the populace of the world. You know, but what will that day be like when Jesus does return for his children? And we look around us, it looks just like the days of Noah. Men had corrupted themselves. Men had gone so far that they don't even know what the truth is. They don't even understand what it is. They're pushing God away, the true and the living God, the God that made the earth and the seas and all that is therein. They're pushing out Jesus as the world did when Jesus lived on earth. They're rejecting him. And they're living unto themselves. They become their own gods. And when you look at their thinking, there's no rationale to many people's thinking today, especially in the leadership of our world. But what will it be like when Jesus does return for his children? Well, it all begins with a promise. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, it tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, our Lord gave us a promise. And we have to begin with everything about God. Our basis must be faith. We must decide that it all starts with our faith in God, our faith in the Word of God as our final authority of all truth and the final authority of our life. And we begin to start there, and we have hope. We have understanding. We can now look into the future through the Word of God and see things unfolding, and the preparation is taking place, and our Lord is coming back. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He said, I will come again. You know, before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he promised that he would return again for us. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 4, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Or that phrase, the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the tribulation. All these things are the beginning of tribulation that is coming. We look around us and the news is filled with war. The news is filled with the things that Russia is now doing and moving into Syria. We're seeing ISIS battling people all around them and killing all around them. We hear of events taking place worldwide and the rumors of wars and the threats of wars. And, of course, we've had that often in history. But when will our Lord come back? You know, many people have tried to pick the date, choose the time, the year. They've written books on it, and unfortunately, many people have bought those books and believed those things that were being prophesied by false prophets, actually. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, verse 36, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know when our Lord is coming back, but we know he is. He gave us the promise. We know that it will be as it were was in the days of Noah, and we look around us, and we see that. It's very clear that the world is corrupt. Man has corrupted himself. You know, many things are being lined up today in this world scheme, making preparation for a one-world government and a one-world leader. But we must begin first with the first event and not get ahead of ourselves. There's a first event. Let's take these things in order and not run too far into this thing of the end times, and let's get a better understanding of what is going to take place. First of all, I want to share with you something called the rapture. It's not a Bible term. It's not, that word is not found in the Bible, but it is an event. And that word describes the event that's going to take place. The word rapture in itself means to snatch away or to be caught up. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so there is the Christians and the writers of the New Testament, of course, they were breathed on by God, and God gave them the words to write, but they were writing looking for that blessed hope, looking for Jesus Christ, who is that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of our great God, of course, talking about Jesus again, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are some events that are going to take place, and it's called the rapture that's going to happen. It's going to cause all these events now to just move forward. The gears will be in motion for it. I want to read for you that event found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, that the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's several things that we find in this passage I want to point out to you this morning. First of all, verse 14 is talking only to born-again believers. It's talking only to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, not through works, but through faith. Through the grace of God, He saves us, and our faith in Him caused that grace to have effect. We turn to Him. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." What does that mean? What is that talking about? That word sleep is a term for believers that are in a state of physical death. It's talking about our loved ones who have already died, where their bodies have gone to. Their physical bodies have been returned to the earth. In most cases, I know there's some extenuating circumstances where that doesn't happen, but the body is asleep right now. The soul is with our Lord Jesus Christ for a saved person. The Apostle Paul wrote, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." So the term used in sleep here is not talking about sleep as you and I do now. It's talking about a person who's already died in Christ. And we look at verse 15. It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, we need to understand what that word prevent means. It doesn't mean we're going to stop them from rising and going to be with the Lord. But that word means to precede. It says that we shall not precede them which are asleep. We'll not go before them. We're not, when the Lord comes back, all living believers in Jesus Christ will not be raptured out or taken off the earth before those saints which have already died. But the Bible says that we will go together. We will meet together in the air. In verse 16, His coming for us will be like His going. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel." You know, what was His ascension like going back to heaven after His resurrection? Well, Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 tells us, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him going into heaven." Isn't that a wonderful thought? A marvelous thought to realize that Jesus is going to come back to earth and He's going to ascend in the clouds. But let me point something out. This rapture, truly our Lord does not set foot on the earth during this time. He has two returnings. I'll explain to that later on in some of our lessons. But He will meet us in the air, the Bible says. There will be a sound, a shout that will take place, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with them into the clouds. We'll meet the Lord in the air at that time. So both the dead in Christ and the living in Christ shall meet the Lord, and shall be with Him forever from that point on. So the first thing is, we see there is a rapture, that our Lord is going to come back, and His return can be any time. The Bible tells us that no man knoweth that time, not the angels in heaven, but only the Father. Even Christ Himself doesn't know, but He'll be informed by the Father when it's time. And so all these people that are writing or even teaching or preaching about the appointed time when the Lord's coming back and they're putting it on a calendar, ignore that because they don't know what they're talking about. Because the Bible makes it very clear that no one will know when that return is. But there's a second thing I want us to notice here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 tells us, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." This is speaking of the rapture, an event that is happening. And the word "let" that we find here means to hinder. It talks about only he who now letteth will let. And that word in the Greek is talking about, or it's defined as the word hinder. This is speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, what He's doing on earth today. He is holding back or limiting sin or iniquity in this world. You see it so bad now. You see it so awful now, the events that are happening and the reports that we get, the murders of children, the molestation, the rape and incest of children and Christians being murdered and people being burned to death. And you look at that and you say, how wicked is the world? Imagine what it'll be like when the Holy Spirit is no longer on this earth to hold back the tide of iniquity, the tide of sin. Until the rapture, or until Jesus comes back for us, the Holy Spirit will continue that work. But at the time of the rapture, the Bible says, until he be taken out of the way, when that moment takes place, the Antichrist will be allowed to do his work unhindered here on the earth now. Satan will have his work unhindered in this world as we know it today. So it's the mystery of iniquity the Bible talks about. And it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit and then what's going to happen when believers are taken out of this world at the rapture, at the snatching away as the Lord comes for us and receives us unto himself, that the Holy Spirit now will step out of the way as far as hindering sin and the work of the devil. Now, the third thing we notice here is the change. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's going to be a change that happens, ladies and gentlemen, when our Lord comes and takes us off this earth. There's going to be a transition that takes place. The Bible says in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I've read where General Electric, many years ago, they timed how long the twinkle of an eye will last. And they timed it as being 1/30th of 1 second. And so before you and I would even know it, or anyone on earth who's still here would know, a person could be standing before him and they would just see them term it as disappear. The Lord would come back so quickly to the earth in 1/30th of a second. He would be come to the earth, above the earth in the clouds. He would snatch away his children off this earth, and we'd vanish from off the earth. Now, let me state this here. The Bible is a book that's written only to believers. And only believers have a clear understanding and teaching of what is happening in the scriptures and can comprehend it. Many men, unsaved people, will read the Bible and they will try and understand it, but they don't have spiritual understanding. The Bible tells us the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And so they won't have any understanding of these events that are happening and that are taking place. In fact, they'll come up with an idea that aliens have come. It's a big talk about spacemen and aliens are going to come and take people off the earth. They're going to have some type of an explanation as to why millions and millions and millions of believers are now gone. This is the completion of the believer's salvation when the Lord comes back at the rapture. It's the completion. It happens there. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, the mystery spoken of in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians is not the resurrection of the dead. That's not the mystery. The truth is already taught. That truth of the resurrection of the dead is already taught in the Old Testament, and it's already been revealed in the New Testament. But the mystery that the Bible speaks about here, behold, in verse 51, I show you a mystery. The mystery is that there will be some believers who will not die, but be changed instantaneously into a glorified body. The body is not in the grave, but they're still alive, but there's an instant change that takes place, and the corruptible body is changed to incorruptible. The mortal body is now made immortal and is changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the Lord comes back for us. But I want to bring another thought here to you concerning the coming of our Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1, we read, but the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet and hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, we look at this passage, it's a long passage, of course, we read. But this event happens again for believers. And we find in this passage that it will save the saints from the day of the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath. There are some believe that God's children will go through the tribulation period or go through part of the tribulation period. But based on the word of God, based on the promise from God himself, that God hath not appointed us, he's talking about the children of light. He's talking about born-again believers, those who are saved. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the day of the Lord will come upon the unsaved. In the first three verses, we recognize that there in the chapter. And thirdly, we note the contrast. If you would read in chapter 4, of 1 Thessalonians, the term we is used quite often in chapter 4. And they and them are used in chapter 5. So there's a contrast here, talking about the saved and talking about the unsaved, talking in chapter 4 about those that are saved, and then talking about them and they appointed under wrath in chapters 5. The term that we read, the day of Christ, refers to the glory of the church, while the day of the Lord is a day of wrath in the world. There's so much to comprehend and understand, but it all begins with faith. It all begins with our trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and faith in his word. And again, we use a King James Bible, and it's served us well. It's anointed by God. It changes lives. It's changed the world. And it's the one we believe in is God's true word for the English-speaking people. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, saying, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. And then in Philippians 1:10, it says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. You know, we're excited today to be believers. And it's an exciting time to live, to see all the things that are happening. On one hand, in our earthly thinking, in our mind, we're concerned, we're worried about what the world is going to be like and how bad it's getting. But you have to look at it from a spiritual point of view. This just means our Lord is that much nearer, that much closer to coming to take us out of this old wicked world. But I want to lastly talk to you about the believer's hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Our hope is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, that will come back for us. John chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." As we long and wait and have our faith and the hope and the truth of the promises here in God's word, the Bible says we purify ourselves. We prepare ourselves to meet Jesus one day. We look at the life we live, and if there's sin, we confess it. We change our life. We live more honestly in this world and according to the word of God. Titus 2:13 tells us, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And I'm so glad that I'm in this day that we're living today. And yes, if we had no hope Jesus was coming again, if we had no hope in his return, then yes, we would be concerned. Yes, we would have a lot of reasons to worry about our children, our grandchildren, and the future of our nation and what it will be like. But we have a sovereign God that we serve. And God is in control of the events and the timetable. We are told that we will know the seasons. And it's not talking about spring, summer, fall, and winter. Not talking about that. It's talking about the times. The seasons or the times, the events that are going to take place. You know, we have no sign, though, to look for. Only the constant expectation of our Lord's imminent return. And it could be any moment. It could happen today. It could happen before I take my next breath. But I know this, and I believe it. The Word of God guarantees it and promises us that Jesus is coming back again for us. And I hope that you're ready. And I hope that today you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.